When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Meta Show. Today is May the 4th, 2024. It is Star Wars Day around the world. Everybody, I hope you are enjoying your Star Wars Day. I was enjoying Star Wars Day earlier. Mrs. Brisk and I were watching The Empire Strikes Back, the best of all the movies. And in addition, if you are an American and you are fond of horse racing, today is a Derby Day as well. So what I would suggest is sit down, chill out, take a break from the Star Wars marathons, grab yourself a mint julep like I'm going to do, and sit here and watch The Meta Show with us. I have with me a man who needs no introduction. You've seen him on the show multiple times, both with me and otherwise. It is Dave Archer. Hi, Dave Archer. How are you?
Hey, guys. It is a bit odd for both of us to be here. Brisk has not gone for a walk this week.
That's it. No walking, no random hotel visits, no breaks. I am here in the flesh. And man, we got a ton of stuff to talk about this week. Number one, obviously, is Abazon. But before we get to Abazon, as Dave, I'm sure, knows very well, you can't have your pudding if you don't eat your meat. So I have to go through a couple of EVE-related things that are out there that I thought were interesting that I want to talk about. And then we're going to talk about Abazon, because that was the biggest fight we've had in years, probably the biggest fight since the end of Vietnam, and Dave was right there in the middle of it. I unfortunately was not. So we got one of the main FCs that can talk about what happened at Abazon, and we're going to talk about all the things that happened, what did happen, what didn't happen, what was deleted by Gobbins, what was not deleted by Gobbins, and what was deleted by the Imperium in just a minute. But first, two things. Number one, Capsuleer Day. Capsuleer Day 21 is here. Gentlemen, ladies, if you are playing EVE, I am strongly going to urge you, log in every freaking day. The login rewards for this campaign are legit. Not only are there a ton of good skins and a ton of skill points that you're going to want to get your hands on, you get this is the login rewards where you get the free ships that everybody wants. You get your Gnosis, you get your Praxis, the two most abused ships in the game. You get a Marshall skin. There's a Zernitra skin at the end of this thing. There's only three Zern skins, and two of them are shit. There is a Tambermaid Zern skin that's got like purple stuff in it. At the end of this login reward, you guys, you need to be logging in every day, okay? Every single day. This is correct. Nobody's going to make you log in and link your PlayStation account to play EVE. Don't worry. So please, get out there and get in, get your login rewards, log in every day. You don't have to log into the game. Just log in, grab your rewards. If you want to go do something else, that's fine. But I'm telling you this, you're going to regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life if you don't get in on these login rewards. Dave, you're going to do it, right?
Yeah, I've been logging in all of my characters every day. Even if I haven't been on to play, I've just been logging them in, taking a long ass time to click claim and then logging back out.
I do that all the time. So, got to do it. Second thing, and I don't even know how this is a thing. And I have to say, when I was on the CSM, I would get asked constantly by people, Brisk, is this an exploit? Brisk, is this an exploit? And my response would always be, if it's not on the exploit page or if they've not made an announcement about it, it's not an exploit. Well, guess what? We got an exploit announcement that came out of fucking nowhere. Exploit notification, extending abyssal timers.
How?
Greetings. Effective immediately, it is considered an exploit to extend the amount of time capsuleers have to complete abyssal dead spaces. Dead space has an intended 20-minute expiration timer where a player ship and capsule will be destroyed at the end of it. God knows I know that because I've lost enough stuff. Any methods to extend this timer to achieve safety or alleviate the danger of losing your ship or loot is considered an exploit. I want to know what they were doing.
Surely that's their terrible coding. I mean, it's a timer. It expired.
And this is the thing, like, the amount of people that would complain about the 20-minute timer and demand their money back or put in tickets to the GMs and get told no because they weren't, I was playing Eve in a hurricane and my power went out. Can I get my ship back? No. Like, they had that for the longest time. And I remember when we were in the CSM having conversations about official dead space right as it was being announced and talking about the potential issues of, well, what happens if this happens? What happens if this happens? What happens if this happens that knocks me offline and I can't finish and my ship gets blown up? And the result of all of those conversations is the current state of abyssal dead space. Oh, your shit got blown up? Sorry. Oh, you had a power outage? Sorry. Oh, pizza guy came in the middle of it. Sorry. Oh, your wife yelled at you that you had to go clean the toilet. Oh, sorry. It's like, fuck you, pay me kind of stuff. It just, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You're going to get blown up. Somebody figured out how to get around this. That's awesome. I want to know who that guy was and find out how he did it. Not going to lie. Now, moving on. That was it. That was the extent of making you eat your meat before you get your pudding. Now it's time for the pudding. We're going to talk about the top story of the week, which is the big fight in Abyssan. I'm pushing the button for our top story. What is it? Is this a transition? I guess it's transit. Transition. Top story transition. Unless you've been living under a rock, which is entirely possible because, honestly, I don't know where a lot of the Horde guys actually live. You have heard about the big fight in Abyssan that happened on Thursday night. Now, where is Abyssan? Abyssan is in Genesis. It is a system in LoSEC. It is on the jump freighter route between 1DQ and Jeta. That is the primary reason for it to be a thing. And there has been constant skirmishing over this system and this Fortizar in particular over the last 2 or 3 months. And Dave, what has been the tenor of that, those fights over the last month or two over this fort? What has been constantly been going on?
Well, basically, from what I understand, it started with Deepwater hooligans taking exception to the fort being there and reffing it. After realizing they couldn't ref it, they couldn't kill it, they brought Horde along. And after essentially 9 attempts where they got kicked in the face several times or had to blue ball several times, they finally managed to do it by just picking the right day, which one could argue if they did their planning in the first place, they could have done anyway. Oh, there you go. Asher got it right in the chat there. Horde hired Deepwater as mercs and then had to bring in muscle to, you know, help their mercs, apparently.
How shocking is that?
I know.
So you're looking at the system. You know, it's one of these things where, and I'll pull it up here on Dotland in a second for you guys. Here we go. This is a list of the systems in Genesis. Abyssan is, in addition to the Eve system, which is in Genesis, this is the main first area that everybody goes into when we got here. It's way, where the hell is it? Somewhere on the screen here. I got to figure out where I put it. There it is, right here. Cindy, yeah. Right there, up here. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it's got good jump ranges getting from all the places that we want to be to getting to where our jump rate is want to be, which is going up and getting into Gs. So essentially, we've been fighting in this system for a while. As Asher noted, Deepwater Hooligans was hired to mess with this structure. We were getting constant fights, and it was turning into a Hell Dunker blue ball situation where the bad guys would form, they'd hit it, we would form for the armor timer, they wouldn't show up. We would hit it, we would wait, they would hit it, we would form for the armor timer, they wouldn't show up. Then eventually they finally formed for the armor timer, we formed for the armor timer, we had a pretty good fight. They ended up reffing the structure, and then boom, we're finally in hull, and here we go. Now, this is not the first time that this has happened. The structure's been hit so many times. It was a matter of when are they finally going to take the big fight, and do we want to contest it? And they pulled the trigger this week. They got a good roll. They got a good roll on the final timer. Why do I say it's a good roll? Well, first of all, for a couple of reasons. One, the timing was exactly right. It was at the very tail end of anything that could be remotely considered EU time zone, beginning of US time zone. And it just happened to fall, go figure, on a five-day weekend, five-day holiday in China, which made it possible for FRT to bring and ask their guys to alarm clock and bring ridiculous numbers. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm going to pull up here in a second. Excuse me. Still getting over a little bit of a cold. We have a by the numbers discussion of what happened in Abazon. And I have to say, I got to give the Imperium a ton of credit. We brought in a ton of numbers on relatively short notice. This was something that we did not see in the past, at least in regards to this system. The numbers we pulled this time were ridiculous. And I gotta give Naraus and Fraternity credit. The numbers that they pulled were even more ridiculous. And I obviously it's a 5-day holiday. And I also gotta say, China, way to go for you guys, by the way. In the United States, Labor Day is in September. It's a 1-day thing. We get like a Monday off and you get a long weekend. In China, I guess it's because it's communist, May Day is the real Labor Day, so May 1st. But they give them 5 days off. That's legit. I want 5 days off for Labor Day. That would be great.
I'll take 5 days off.
Right? So these guys get 5 days. So this was smack in the middle of a holiday weekend for the Chinese, and they made the most of it because they're the ones who were the big winners in this fight. Now, we make jokes about deleted by goblins and all of that kind of stuff. But the reality was, if you want to say that the Imperium was deleted in this fight, which we really weren't, we were deleted by Naraus because that's where the numbers are. Here they are on the screen by the numbers. On the Imperium side, we brought a total of 2,140 characters in system based on the battle report. PandaFam brought 2,776. Dreads, we fielded 520 Dreads. They fielded 970 of those. More than a third, almost half, Fraternity and Winterco, 355. That's legit. We fielded 347, we meaning Goons. Goons, 347. We only fielded 8 fewer, not less because I speak English, 8 fewer than Fraternity on a holiday weekend. I am not going to complain. Not complaining. Horde fielded 268. And I have to say, this is the best thing on this whole graph, in my opinion. Horde loves to beat their chests, loves to act like they are the Dread Kings. They feel the most Dreads. They are bringing Dreads over constantly, constantly, constantly. I'm surprised that Sandrin's not here in the chat yelling about how many Dreads they brought. But the reality was, we beat Horde in bringing Dreads, and we did it on 2 days' notice. 2 days' notice. We just started moving stuff 2 days before this fight. Now, granted, we had some there, but so did they. But I have to say, I love the fact that we fielded more Dreads than Horde did. That's a big win. Dave, am I wrong in that?
No, that's great, especially considering it was it started in a bit of a dead time because the form ups happened around between 23 and 00 sort of time, which is normally historically for our alliance the time where there's less people on, because it's that spot between EU and USTZ, you know, where everybody goes to sleep or people are getting home. So to have that many dreads and then two full subcap fleets and an almost full subcap fleet from our alliance is amazing.
We're going to go into the details on the subcap numbers in a minute, but I want to go over the rest of the dread numbers first, and then we'll get this off the screen. In addition, at least on the Imperium side, it was Imperium in it and a bunch of friendly wormholers who decided to show up, and we had extra dreads that we handed to them. They ended up being the second largest contingent that made it to the fight. So the Turbo Freedom Glory guys, all the rest of the folks that were out there, thank you. We appreciate you guys showing up. You really made it a thing. Brave brought 55. Innit brought 47. Dracaris brought 25. I want to highlight this because I know there has been some grumbling given how many people Fraternity brought and how few people Dracaris brought. We didn't expect Dracaris was going to bring anybody. It's not their time zone. And yes, it was a holiday, but we didn't ask them to come. We didn't say, hey, we need you guys here, because I don't think anybody expected Fraternity was going to bring the numbers that they brought. It was crazy that they showed up in 25, and that is 24 more dreads than NC Dot brought. One thing to
note on the dreads as well, I just saw a comment about the fact it's closer to us than it is Horde. They had almost a month or so to plan the ability to destroy this fort. They've been attacking it for so long. I think it's been mentioned on like three meta shows already. They could have easily moved enough dreads for one big battle. The where it is in Eve has pretty much zero bearing on that fact, because they've had the time to prepare for it.
And they are, in addition, being the attacker, they decide when they're going to they're going to do a timer. They decide what they want to do. And if they decide to do it, then they go do it. And they're the ones in the driver's seat. They could pick the fight. They could have, if they didn't think this was the best time, or if they didn't have the numbers that they wanted to, they could have let this go over and roll over again and ref it again, which has been refed for a month or so. Why would we hit Origin and Securitas? What's the point? Is that your jump freighter route? I don't even know. Is it your jump freighter route?
It's their border system next to BWF, which is a jump freighter route, yes. But why would we hit something right next to their space when there's no need? And also, this system is not on our doorstep. It's not like you're attacking a fort in Sanct. Yes, if you tried to attack a fort in Sanct, you would be annihilated before you even got to the hull timer. Same as if we tried to attack a fort right on the edge of your space.
So I will give PandaFam credit completely, because they managed to bring more people on a regular weeknight for most of us. It was a holiday in China, but they managed to bring a ton of people and they did a great job. They killed 282 of our dreads, 1,160 total ships. We lost 2.57 trillion ISK. On the other hand, we managed to hold our own. We killed 207 of their dreads, including the only Lancer dread on the fleet. Thank you, Greedy Titan, for dropping a hubris. It was nice that we got at least one of those. I appreciated that. 947 total ships lost on their side. 1.78 trillion ISK lost. Now, the total ISK lost between everybody, because this is what the standard, all of the media people want to know. How much was it? 4.3 trillion ISK. That puts it in the top 10 fights of all time. We had over 4,300 people in local at the top, which is putting us in the top five or so of fights since M2, probably top five or so fights ever. It wasn't close to M2. M2 had over 6,400 people. FWST had probably the most overall in terms of the entire fight over the time period. But this was probably the biggest fight that we've had since the end of the Vietnam War over a jump freighter, Fortizar. Not not a major war, not a major fight, just more of the Cold War between us and Horde. And I have to say, I appreciated the fact that everybody was willing to take this fight, because this was one of these questions. Are we going to get one of these? Is it going to happen? Are we going to get a big fight? And watching the clouds, the puffs of dreads coming in, and we had a big ball of dreads in the middle. They drop on those dreads. We dropped on those dreads. They dropped on those. They dropped on this. I mean, it went back and forth. There were probably a good 10 or 12 different dread bombs that came in throughout the entire run of this fight. And that was pretty cool. Dave, you were in a subcap fleet. What were you guys doing?
Yeah, so I was commanding our first main fleet, one of the rogue fleets. Basically, for the start of it, the bit you were just describing when the dreads first came in, I was literally sat there just waiting to see what their subcaps would do, because they dropped in their dreads to pause the timer. Then all of their subcaps went and sat on those dreads, and we were just like, okay, well, we're as content as anything to just sit here for a bit, waiting. And then in an interesting, well, not interesting, but we dropped our dreads in a logical place that was actually within weapons range of all of our subcaps. And then, as you said, they dropped on them. So the second they dropped dreads there, we were just like, well, hello. And we just started nuking dreads, essentially, at the start. Ash's Ravens were killing their own dreads. At the start, my Rogue Fleet and Arcadius's Rogue Fleet were killing the same dread. Then Ark realized his smaller Rogue Fleet had enough to kill dreads. So we were essentially, in subcaps, killing three dreads at once from goons, and I believe Init was killing their own dread as well. So we're doing quite well there, and then our dreads were killing. And then, yeah, the dread fight just escalated, and we just kept killing dreads until hostile subcaps became a threat to us, which didn't happen for a long time. Which, bully to them, we just kept killing their dreads.
So in the end, like you can see here on the battle report, I mean, you know, the number of dreads was just, it was just crazy. There were over 15, almost 1500 dreads, closer. Yeah, I guess it was over 1500. I can't do math. Maybe slightly under the 1500 dreads on grid. One Lancer dread. Sorry, Greedy Titan. It was a Moros, the Moros one, the Hubris, which I like. We had 520 over here. They had 969, as I noted. And then we had, I mean, it was just crazy how many people we had dreads out there. And I appreciate the fact that we did this. And I want to do another shout out, because I think this was another thing that needs to be highlighted. You've got, obviously, FRT, they're the big wieners here. They managed to pull crazy numbers. But look at this. Look at this. This isn't even their war. Deepwater Hooligans, Big Ab themselves, 172 dreads. More than PL, NC Dot, Slice, whoever those test people are, all of them combined. And these guys aren't, they're not even in NullSec Alliance. They're not allied. They're not allied with Horde. They're not part of PandaFam. I mean, they are obviously mercenaries. They're hired by PandaFam. But I'm impressed that they showed up in those kinds of numbers. And I sure hope that Gobbins keeps paying them, because, man, it's definitely a good business to be in if you're those guys, because that's great. 172 dreads. I mean, they brought, if you look at Deepwater Hooligans, they brought more than almost all of the non-goon alliances that we brought too. So that's pretty solid. Who is missing on this? Stuffed out. I think they were the boogeyman that a lot of us who were watching this fight, because I unfortunately couldn't be in it. I had some stuff going on Thursday night and I was sick. The fact that Snuffed wasn't there. And normally they'll go over they can to fuck around with Big Ab, or fuck around with us, or fuck around with Horde. Whoever is in LoSec, they don't care. These guys are the arch third partiers. That they didn't come in and mess around. The only thing I can think of is they just don't want to deal with the tie-dye. Exactly, Darthana. The Snuffed is very anti-tie-dye. So I was kind of surprised that they didn't show up, but at the same time, not that surprised. But I got to give Big Ab, the Deepwater Hooligan guys, a shout out, because between them showing up and the Chinese holiday that enabled Fraternity to bring those types of numbers, that really turned the tide of this fight. And that's pretty amazing stuff. So congrats to those guys. They really kick some ass. Now, what's next? I don't know. We will see what happens in Abazon in the future. Again, this is a pretty important route. And the fact that we have proof that the bad guys are going to throw down here makes me think that we'll probably see some continued fighting. But a lot of that stuff we won't know until, I don't know, we'll find out down the road. Now, all right, go ahead.
We may have a receipt for summit that is being said in chat. One second.
We have receipts? I like receipts. Oh,
we have a receipt.
We have a receipt? Okay.
It's not an iPad receipt, but it's a receipt. It's in
Let me see.
Channel on Discord.
Here we go. So what... What's sort of paying you for this? Not that much. So Big Ev was there for fun. They were there for fun. I mean, obviously, you know, we know they have a close relationship because we know that, you know, that at least they're trading intel, and we'll get to that story in a minute. Now, we did have a question about some, quote, horde propaganda that came out this week. I'm going to throw it up on the screen. So this kind of roiled Reddit for maybe a couple hours when it came up. This was posted by, and the name of the post was, this post was deleted by Globins, which is funny. Coalition war proposal, and it talks about the next big plan to erase goons from EVE Online, which, you know, inevitably is the thing. The Landau Accords, I guess, are something that this person invented, at least as far as I know, unless Securitas wants to confirm or deny whether this is real. He can. He's here. A long discussion of different things that they were going to do differently this time than they did on the last time. Totally true, he says. Exactly. So the only thing that made me think that this was real, honestly, was this misspelling, because that's exactly the kind of shit I would expect from Horde. Otherwise, the rest of this didn't seem realistic, but that misspelling, that sealed it. It was like the chef's kiss that made this real. It's just a discussion of different things that they could potentially do, and it fixes all the problems that happened last time, which was things like, you know, we have to have a single chain of command. We have to have one group that's going to focus on doing all this stuff. We have to be willing to lose space and all of that kind of stuff. All the things that they weren't willing to do last time, that they did not have last time, that caused them problems. So, if anything, this reads like someone in the Imperium wrote this as a joke. Because, I'll be bluntly honest, if you ask the Horde guys, you ask them who won the war, and despite the fact that the instant... we won the war, according to the EULA, that's the joke. The instant response that anybody in Goons is going to be like is, we didn't win shit, because that's the quote. These guys don't think they did anything wrong. So the whole idea of like a discussion of learning the lessons that we messed up in World War B, they think they won. They don't think they need to have any. I mean, the only very few times will you hear any of the hardcore guys during that war be like, yeah, we fucked it up. The whole thing was bad. No, we glassed 90% of space. We pushed these guys back into one little system in 1DQ, around 1DQ. And if we had kept going, that's it. According to the EULA, we won the war. That's the type of thing. That's it. So the whole concept that they would learn the lessons from the last war, that kind of was like where I stopped reading in this, because I felt like it was a little bit fake. What did you, Dave? What did you think about this?
I was just reading it. I don't normally go on Reddit because the amount of.
Oh, you missed this? You missed the fun?
Yeah. But it is interesting. It's very interesting, and the fact that they think they could stand a chance if they tried again is, well, if they made this, you know, I bet you there are some people there, including Goblins, that thinks they stand a chance if they try it again. But Goons is like a sleeping giant. We will just wake up and everybody will come back again.
Right.
So well, I mean, comical. It's definitely a joke.
It is definitely comical. I do appreciate. I will tell you this. Anytime somebody takes time to put in a troll to this level, I appreciate it. Exactly. Securitas. Just attack. It's so easy, right? The bottom line is, like, and Equinox alluded to this, putting this out now, making any kind of plans like this right now, when we are less than a month, or I guess maybe slightly more than a month away from a major update to NullSec and how SOV is going to work and changes to iHubs and all this other kind of crap, is the height of hubris. But it's not even the most obnoxious horde shitposter would consider doing something like this now. Because, and Dragon, I mean, really look back at the deck. This is part of what I'm saying, because we have seen what has happened in the past when these things change. Like, it's you wait, you learn the new meta, then you do stuff, because if you do stuff in the middle of the meta, you're going to get fucked up like we were during the casino war. Now, in addition, just some of the stuff on here, like the whole economic finances stuff of a great war like this, they're just not there anymore. There's no TTT that's funding SRP for the bad guys the way that there was before. Like, there's still a TTT, but it's not making the kind of money that it was in the past. I'm just saying. So anyway, this was a fun, I liked it. It was cute. It made me laugh. I thought it was good. But is it real? No.
No.
Now, what is real, however, is the fact that it does not apparently take very much to earn rent-free living space in Gobbins' head, because, man, it's so easy to do. And I mean, I know Asher's got rent-free space in his head. I know Arcadius has rent-free space in his head. We get pings on these guys all the time. Gobbins has spent out, I have to say, this week he has put out more pings just like leaking our own comms back to us. Like, I do appreciate the fact that he pulled out Ragnar Schwarzkopf, who we refer to as Ragnar Beta, talking shit about why didn't we have more dreads or something the last time we had a dread? Why didn't we pull dreads when we were having a battleship fight? And one of the directors laid into him. He pinged that out. He's pinged out leaks from random people making comments in Karma Fleet Discord, like, multiple times. I have to say, like, it makes me laugh that. And of course, yes, as Asher noted, he pings out like responses to Asher's fireside. We saw this at least a half dozen or more times this week, and it just made me laugh. Like, I mean, we got he's got pings. So he starts. This is April 26th, and I'll read this. It's called Story Time. He says, "For anyone wondering, goons have straight up gaslight, he said, sick. They're jabronis. I love it when he calls us jabronis. By claiming Pandemic Horde deleted pings for the Abazon hull timer. This was the last hull timer. Okay. This is completely made up. Their own members asked to see evidence of these spicy deleted pings, and of course their leadership has nothing to show. For some background, goons have been making the same mistakes they did up north, spamming pre-pings for defensive timers that their opponents made no pre-pings for, ending up in their guys overforming, getting blue ball, standing down, while our own side never pinged or formed to begin with. Each time they do that, their numbers go down a little, and once their numbers went low enough, we flash-formed and dunked them last Monday." This is what I laugh about. He says, he links a battle report. He says, "This battle report was bad news for Goons because we matched their pre-ping numbers with our flash form. And on top of that, we put dreads on the field while they choked and held their own caps docked." This is not the fight Thursday. This is the week before. Okay. "That put them in the unenviable position of having to either hype up the hull time or even harder in advance to squeeze through enough numbers to abort a repeat or go on with the same numbers as Monday. You can guess what happened next. Goons had to madly hype the hull timer. We got the numbers, and they stole and they stood down and let it go. And the result was we had to fight this week. The reality is this is what they had been doing, and I appreciate the fact that not only does he has to hugely throw up all the hype pings to try to demonstrate that he didn't delete anything. And I mean, I'll tell you, if he didn't delete anything, he sure is touchy about it. I'm just saying. And Securitas is getting touchy about it.
He is getting a bit uppity, isn't he?
A little touchy. A little touchy about it.
Did we touch a nerve?
I'll be bluntly honest, at least for me, I wouldn't say Horror Gen is a goldmine of comedic materials for goons. I think the goldmine is the amount of times you guys get burned by bot porn spammers in your ping channels. That shit is hilarious to me. Like, I can't stop laughing every time, like every day.
Didn't that you guys get nailed
by the fucking porn spammers. It's almost a daily thing. It's ridiculous. I think it's hilarious. Anyway, that's my favorite part. I kind of laugh. But Gobbins pings out a dozen things all this week talking about that stuff and having to defend against us and everything. And then the 28th of April rolls around and we get I think this is probably one of the funniest, at least in my opinion, because I wasn't involved. Cat fight, completely stupid drama that only happens in EVE Online type things. And that was the whole nonsense. Excuse me. The whole nonsense around Moose Army leaving Pandemic Horde. Dave, you followed this, right? You talked to the Moose Army guys.
Yeah, I had a chat with them. Not too in depth because been working a lot, but what I can gather is they were basically just doing what honestly most corps in EVE and even in Goons do, and in their private channels, yeah, they were a bit irritated at Horde leadership, so they were complaining about it, and then they got to a point where they felt they could no longer stay, so they were talking about the best way to make their exit, because from a corp leadership standpoint, you have to do what is best for your corp. Alliance first, yes, but you're responsible for those people in your corp and the survival of your corp. If you're in a completely toxic environment where, you know, you got people that are deleting pings, who are willing to put you on blast and then go, oh, but you have a bit of time to fix this or leave. I mean, why would you want to stay there? So, you know, Gobbins got a bit upset by the looks of it. Rather than trying to resolve the issue and talking, he went either shut up and leave or shut up and stay, rather than what are exactly your issues, which is what Asher would do. And yeah, it just kind of boiled down to a massive clusterfuck.
So Gobbins sends out a ping saying, we've caught a rat, and proceeds to link a bunch of screen grabs that to the outside observer don't make any fucking sense or don't make a lot of sense. So one of the ones he linked was this. This is apparently a conversation between him and Butt Saggington, who, in addition to having a very unfortunate name, also happens to be the CEO of Moose Army. And it's a whole thing where he's doing this, the typical passive aggressive, anybody's free to leave, just do it. Just do it. You want to leave, go. You know, you anybody else, you can leave whenever you want. You can go wherever you want. You can even go to the bad guys. You can go to enemy alliances if you want. Just go. And Butt Saggington obviously responds with a flood of bullshit, which is exactly what I would have done if I were the CEO and got accused of, hey, are you guys leaving? Well, you know, I appreciate the fact that I was waiting for this ping and, you know, I was waiting for this message and, you know, da 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 da. What is he trying to do? Obviously, he's buying time because he doesn't trust that they'll be allowed to leave, regardless of all the UK. Oh, hey, here you go. We'll pack your bags. We'll make your passport. Get on out. It's fine. you know. And then suddenly you're doing move ops and your Titans are dying and you're like, what? What? You mean they didn't really mean that? You mean they didn't really mean we could go wherever we wanted to? Yeah, so obviously Butt Sagington was bullshitting. Bullshitting Gobbins, which, of course, is the worst possible thing you can do to Gobbins because he gets very upset about it. So he goes through, we caught a rat. This one's so innocuous and comically incompetent that I thought it'd be fun to let Horde General argue about it. This is Butt Sagington Boap. I still love that name. Was already caught shit-talking the Alliance inside his corp once and was given an ultimatum to either peacefully leave or to stick to PH for good. On the surface, he told myself and his own members they were staying, but at the director level, he made plans to backstab. The plans to backstab were they were going to leave. That's the backstabbing part of it. They were going to leave.
Oh, no. Anyway.
Right. And so he's like, all the other stuff he's posting, like, nothing in here is awful. I don't see any constant shit talking. I don't see any nasty stuff or anything. Then there he makes another ping saying, be careful, guys. If you leave this corp, they will blacklist you. And that's not what the ping even says. This Jake Volton guy, who we'll get to in a minute. And this part of it is actually really hilarious, as we will see here in a minute. Butt Sagington is like, I feel like if folks leave the corp now when we're leaving because they want to stick around with Horde, we should blacklist them. But he's like, am I just being over the top? And the Jake guy's like, no, I don't think we need to do that. It's probably on a case-by-case basis. But I mean, I think that's pretty standard. You know, when you're leaving a big group, there are going to be people that stick around or go somewhere else. I did that with Innit. When Innit left the Imperium, I joined Goons. Not because I was not loyal to Innit, not because I didn't love my Innit bros, but because of all the obligations that I had, I felt like I had a better fit being in Karma Fleet than I did in Innit anymore. So I left and came over here. It's not a standard, and there was no bad blood. The Innit guys still like me. Shines and I are still best buddies. So that's the kind of thing you would expect. But there is a time when, like, hey, guys, we feel like we need to get out of here. This isn't working out. If you want to stick around and Horde, go ahead. But if you do, maybe we don't want you to be hanging out with us. I'm just saying. Not the worst thing in the world. So I'm kind of like, okay. So anyway, Butt Sagington says to Jake, do you want to be the Horde leadership guy? That's fine. And then he says, I'm wondering if Gobbins has gotten word we're moving freighters and supers and titans to Geminate. And Jake Volton says, prob. Guess what? They knew. They knew. Because guess what happens while these guys start moving? Well, boom, we get the loss of the third Titan, the third Komodo, the third big bad Komodo, the most tanky ship in the game. Third one dies. To who? Well, it's to Deepwater Hooligans, a.k.a. Big Ab, a.k.a. the group that is totally not in Horde but being paid by Horde, just happens to know when this guy is moving and where, in Geminate, in space controlled by Horde, and according to Darkshines, who has positive confirmation, this guy, Robert Volton, the alt, by the way, of our buddy here, Jake Volton, the one who says, I'm wondering if Gobbins has gotten word we're moving freighter supers, titans, Geminate. He says, probably, this is his alt. This dies. The third Komodo to die in the game.
That's essentially like somebody leaving Goons.
And he dies. Hold on 1 second. He dies jumping to a Horde Sino.
It's essentially like outside.
Dave, do you think that's a coincidence or do you think this was obviously...
It's essentially like a corp leaving Goons, we're moving our Titans out, and then Innit suddenly kills them all. You know? Like,
how could that possibly happen?
What a coincidence. Like, Jesus. You'd be a bit smaller.
Alright,
so... At the same time...
F-Hound in the chat says that the corp was friendly with Worthless Care Bearers before Worthless Care Bearers were when they were together in test. They left and they went to Innit, and these guys were like, we like these guys, so we want them to go too. This is exactly the situation that happened when Worthless Care Bears left Horde back in June of last year. And on the way out, they lost to Titan the same way, the same whole exact same philosophy, the same way as these guys did. So what does that tell you? Again, if you leave Horde and you have more than a couple hundred characters, because this was the of the all the groups that have left Horde since Worthless Care Bears, this was the second largest group, I think, that left. Might have been the largest, and the second largest went to Fraternity, but these guys were going to Innit, that suddenly you're going to lose shit on the way out, because somebody is, especially if you got expensive stuff, and that expensive stuff belongs to somebody that we want to fuck with because they were leadership, stuff's going to die. Dave, is that a good policy? I kind of feel like that's not a good policy.
Well, no, because then nobody's going to, well, instead of talking to you about problems and leaving peacefully, people are going to sneak out the door, and then you're left with nothing. Or nobody new is going to join you if they feel they're trapped, and you'll just screw them over. So you're really just making a toxic work environment in EVE.
Exactly. And the bottom line is, you cannot get upset when people are lying to you about leaving when they know what happens when you tell them the truth and you leave. But every time I see, well, that wasn't, these guys didn't just leave. They were toxic, and they were talking shit privately talking shit, not publicly, privately talking shit. And they were not trying to do anything bad on the way out. They weren't feeding, they weren't AWOXing Horde guys before they left. None of that stuff. Like, it's just, I just have to laugh. And I have to say, the other thing that weirds me out is just the whole rental culture inside Horde is weird. Like, an actual Horde corporation, like one that's in the Alliance, that has to, you have to rent stuff from the main Alliance in a corporation that's in the Alliance. What the hell is that? That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. Renters are renters. Why are you treating your own? But so Securitas, were these guys renters or were they part of Horde? Why are people talking about the renting that they're doing?
Yeah, they literally say renting in one of the conversations with either it's in their director chat or with Gobbins, one of the team.
And to Asher's point, if we kill the Titans of everybody that they that talk shit about goons internally, we'd have no Titans left. That is entirely true.
I would
true.
Never be allowed a Titan if he killed people that talk shit about him.
Anyone is able to choose to rent systems if they want to. Well, why don't they just have their own space? Why don't you just give it to them for free?
Yeah,
you guys need the money that bad?
If I asked Asher, hey, Asher, can you know, ASCII go over here and do stuff? And he went, yeah, but that'll be $5 billion per system. The next two words out of my mouth would be off, you know? Like,
okay. So you can, they get free space, but if they want more, they have to rent it. That's still really weird, given the fact that you guys have dozens of regions. Just saying.
Anyway, pyramid scheme.
We'll get there. Now, we've got to the point of the show. I was worried about this. I'm not really that happy. Fountain Frank has a major announcement that he wants to make. He asked me if he could come on the show today. He says he's been talking to Asher and he has to make this announcement. And it's not something that he wants to make, but it's something that he feels needs to be made. So I think we got to let him on. Dave, are you going to be okay with this? I don't think you've ever been on with Frank before. Are you going to be all right?
Fine.
All right. Well, let me go get him, and we're going to wrap this up with a Fountain Frank segment, and then we have an announcement at the end of the show. So here we go. It's been a couple weeks, more than a couple weeks, and I'm sure we'll hear about that. It's time for a Fountain Frank update. lot of you people have been asking me where I've been. The answer to that is I have been visiting a planet far off in the abyss called Nunya. Nunya Business. All right, now listen. Why am I here? Why are you here? Okay, we have a major, major Imperium announcement to make tonight. I know you guys are going to be upset because this represents a complete and utter change. A complete and utter change in the philosophy of the Imperium. But I'm here to announce today that the Imperium, because of the Abazon fight, because of other things that have happened, needs money. And that means we are going to have to be restarting our rental program. We are starting it. We are restarting our rental program. I hate to be the one to announce it, but you know what? Somebody's got to do it, and it's my job. The new rental program, which will be referred to as the New Imperium Renting Department, a.k.a. NERD, will be spinning up. And to announce the first round of where we're going to be renting, we have a new graphic that I will put up here on the screen in a moment. Miranda asks, Frank, are you offering systems to Geminate to rent? No. Here is what we're going to be doing. Okay. Asher, myself, Arcadius, others looked around and we said, what space do we live in rent-free that we have not put anything in? What space do we live in rent-free that's not making us any money? What space do we live in rent-free that we could sublet out to people for cash that wouldn't really harm the game in EVE Online? And that, my friends, is pretty fucking obvious. So I am announcing today we will be renting out the space that our Asher and Arcadius and the guys live rent-free in Gobbin's Head will now be the first place we are now renting in the new NERD. The new Imperium Rental Department. Please contact me at Deleted by Gobbins for details. You too can live rent-free in Gobbin's Head. You too can get every kind of ping you want. Dave, should we ask the Moose Army guys if they want to rent here? I mean, they've rented everywhere else in Horde Space, right?
I think they've already moved in.
I mean, you know, it's right there.
Yeah.
How much for a negative 0.9 system? I don't even know. Where should we start the pricing at for this? I don't even know. What is the sex status in there? I'm sure it's null. Just saying. Anyway, so that's what I hear to announce. Today, the NullSec, New Imperium Rental Department, this space is for rent. If you lived here, you'd be home by now. Get your rent-free space that we will charge you for in Gobbin's Head. All right, Dave, I'm going to go find Brisk. You enjoy yourself.
Alrighty. I must say, guys, there is a lot of space in that head to rent. It's quite empty. So get your space now. Everybody can fit. However, what I will say is it does come with an aspect of annoyance. You know, he gets so obsessed that he just can't let you go. Exactly. There's a lot of echoing I hear. How I feel about my line members performed? They performed really well. Other than the keep the fleet check there, they did really well. The thing that wasn't performing was my voice halfway through and the server. So
what else is new with that, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
the server not performing, that's a pretty standard thing. I have to say the fact that the tie dye was pretty significant, but it wasn't too crazy. That was a good thing for me. I wish I had been in the fight. We watched it on Rampage Incorporated, and we talked about it, but I didn't get a chance to be there, and I kind of regret that. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of the show. I have a major announcement that I wanted to make to wrap this up, and this is going to come as a surprise to some of you, but to others that I've been talking to, it should not. I have been hosting the Meta Show for the last 5 years. I took over from Big Red Boat in November of 2019. That was a long time ago. Mittens and I did the show for a number of years together. Mittens left the show in July of 2023. And since then, actually July of 2022, last year, myself and Mark ran the show. And then today marks the big announcement that I'm going to be moving on. I will be the new executive producer for the Meta Show. I'll be taking a step back from the weekly show on-air anchoring. Dave Archer will be taking over. He will be the new host of the Meta Show starting on May the 25th. That'll be actually starting on June the 1st. May the 25th will be my last show as the main on-air anchor. I will be hanging around as an executive producer. I'm not going to be gone. I'm not going to be leaving forever, but you will not see me every week. I will pop on when there's an emergency or when there's a major thing. Maybe I'll do some podcasts, something along those lines. But in terms of me being here every week, I'm not going to be doing that anymore. Why, Brisk? Why are you leaving the show? Well, there are a number of reasons. The first one and the most important is I want to spend more time with my family, with Mrs. Brisk in particular, with my son. He is 13. My wife is 46. We've been through a lot together. And for the last 5 years, she has let me prioritize the show over her. And that needs to stop. So I'm going to make sure that at least for now, we're going to get in there, take care of my family first, and make sure we get to go out and do fun things on Saturdays, which we've not been able to do for years. So I appreciate the fact that you guys have all wanted to spend your Saturdays with me. I've spent my Saturdays with you. I'm looking forward to spending time with my family on the weekends again, that I, in a way that I've not been able to do except every once in a while when we've taken time off. And I don't think you guys should have to miss a Meta Show because I want to spend time with my family. And although I know some people may say this, Asher told me this earlier, I am not irreplaceable. I'm a good host. I had a lot of fun with this show, but I am not the only person that's ever done it, and I'm not the only person that can do it. The show survived without Mittens. It will survive without me. It's because of you, all of you, who tune in here every week to watch this show that make it what it is. And for those of you who tuned in to watch me, I ask that you tune in to watch Dave and that you tune in to watch whoever he chooses to be his co-host and that you keep this thing going because this is the longest running show, the longest running talk show in EVE Online history. It is the most watched talk show, the most loved, the most hated. But I think we've had the most fun over the last 5 years. And I hope that as the show continues, as you stick around and watch, that we'll continue having a good time. I want to say thank you to all of you who have tuned in to watch this show over the years. You are the best audience in EVE. Don't let anybody tell you different. I hope you've had a good time. I hope we've made you laugh. I hope we made you cry. I hope we've made you get really mad and throw stuff at the screen. I hope that you have basically had a chance to sit down and watch and talk and think about EVE because this is a game that does things that nobody else does, has a community that no other game has. I mean, the fact that a show like this can have lasted for almost 10 years where we just talk about the game, it's pretty special, and it will be special regardless of who is sitting in these two chairs here. So, Dave, are you ready for this, my friend?
Yep.
All right.
Just have to start talking more.
You're going to have to start talking more. Exactly. Well, I have to say, folks are going to be very pleased when they're guests on the show because guess what? They're going to be able to get a word in edgewise because I'm not going to be here to talk over them. So anyway, thank you all for the last 5 years. You've made it special for me. I've had a lot of fun being on the show with all of you. I'm not going anywhere, but I will not be here every Saturday. So thank you all for everything that you've done for me. Thank you for everything you've done for my family. Thank you for everything you've done for the Imperium, for INN, and for Goons. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all in the future. So fly safe. And for me, my last show, as I noted, will be May the 25th. So everybody be there, be square. And as always, well, I have to say, it's May the 4th. So May the 4th be with you, and you stay classy, New Eden.